Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Wow, COVID-19, what did it do to our tattoo industry? Man, it rocked us. We were shut down 3 months. And then obviously with the death of George Floyd that happened during all of this, we honestly saw a spike in requests that we were getting for getting the Confederate flag tattoo covered up.
All we want is justice. We can't get justice.
With the climate kind of going on in America right now, I think a lot of people who had that symbol on them was just like, yeah, this ain't me. This isn't who I am. I'm not trying to live like this. So when we got back to work, I said, we have to just turn it up a notch. And since we've gotten back from the lockdown, I'm doing 3 or 5 cover-ups a week. In tattooing, a cover-up is when you are able to go in and take an old image that you got when you were younger, where you had made a mistake, a lapse of judgment, and being able to alter that image and turn it into something completely brand new. It's a skill set that not a lot of people want to dive into, especially very difficult or very large cover-ups, but it's something that I've always really enjoyed doing and consider myself to be good at. My name is Billy White. I'm a 35-year-old tattoo artist from Zanesville, Ohio. And I've been tattooing for 16 years now. The town I grew up in is actually about 35 minutes southeast of where I currently live and have lived for the majority of my adult life. I'm from a small town called Crooksville, Ohio, where there's really nothing happening there. They've removed all the stoplights kind of thing. Industry's gone. Typical Rust Belt America town. I started tattooing when I was 19. I didn't even really know I wanted to tattoo per se. This shop was a tattoo shop and a skate shop. And at the time, that was like the coolest shit that you could possibly have. And I went in there and asked if they were hiring. And they were like, oh yeah, man, like, can you draw? I had went to college to pursue art education, but at that time they had cut all the funding for those kind of programs in our state. So I said, yeah, they invited me to the shop meeting that night. There was like a fight in the parking lot and they ended up firing a tattooer that night. And basically they were like, hey, just come in tomorrow and you can start working. I was there for 2 weeks. And they set me up a tattoo machine. The cover-up work that we do really popped off right at the Charlottesville event, the Unite the Right rally.
They just literally came down the street at 80 miles per hour to fucking hit us just now. There are people, bodies laying on the ground right now.
Senseless loss of life there. And the perpetrator, the murderer who drove that car was from my home state of Ohio. So for me, I've always seen racism and the symbols of it in my community, whether it be rebel flags, dudes rocking swastika tattoos. There's so many people out there that are willing to go and get these tattoos, and tattoo shops will do them and not think twice about it. They just want the money. And I thought with the platform that I have, I could kind of shift the culture in tattooing. So former people in hate groups, whether it be the Aryan Brotherhood, members of the KKK, there's tons of different factions of that. And I could go on and on and on about the people that have walked away from those groups that we've helped. But ultimately, we realize that a lot of people need help and they don't have the finances to really do it. There's a lot of really terrible stories that you hear working in this, and it's a lot to deal with. It's really shed a lot of light on the world for me and opened my eyes up to how people get into these situations, whether it be the socioeconomic impact of living in a community that has no money, no industry, low education, a ton of mental health, drug and alcohol problems. I see broken homes, whether it be dad in prison,
dad's not there,
mom's not there,
mom's in prison,
dad OD'd,
mom OD'd.
I'm seeing this across the board, and I'm seeing a ton of like suicide and different things like that that really play into these people getting into the lives that they've had. And man, when I first started this, I really, really didn't know how many things dove into this, but we're also helping former gang members, people of human trafficking and sex trafficking. We've shifted into recently helping people who have done some self-harm. And a big one for me that I've recently dove into was helping women who are survivors of breast cancer with their mastectomy scars. So it's been full blow. How can we use tattooing to help the community? So when someone approaches us about any kind of these cover-ups or any kind of help that they need, we start a vetting process. I didn't want it to be a no questions asked kind of thing. I wanted to get to know these people. I wanted to make sure that we weren't hiding white supremacy, that these people adamantly have changed or that they're making positive changes. Sometimes we're asking some very, very difficult questions. Hey, are you still donating money to the cause? Are you still training? Do you still hang out with any of the members that you used to? Have you moved away from the community that you were in? And a lot of times, most of these people, as soon as they know what we're doing, we're getting pages worth of, this is my story. These are the things that I've done. These are the things that have happened in my life that have made me walk away from it. That vetting process is something that allows us to facilitate letting people know that we're invested in them, not only monetarily, but emotionally, mentally, spiritually. And we just want everybody to grow and continue to grow. But not everybody gets through. Like a client, his name's Josh, he's from South Carolina. It was 2 years of getting to know Josh and getting to know him and keeping an eye on his social media. And, you know, oh, your Facebook page went down, brother. Like, what happened there? It's that building of that relationship. And I always say that the human growth is not linear. And I am definitely not the judge, jury, and the executioner of all of this. We all have our communities and our families and our rituals and these things that have just molded us, that a lot of times we have to kind of unlearn some of the toxic things that we've taken in, whether that be forms of toxic masculinity. I know I struggle with that, asking for help. So we ask those questions, we build a relationship, we take a look at what they need done, and we assess how difficult it's going to be. I want to give them something beautiful. I want to give them something that they're proud of and that when they look in the mirror, they see a new person. You know, I've had clients tell me that they've never taken their shirt off in front of their partner while making love. When you hear that kind of thing and you talk about people who are in their 40s that have been with people for 16, 17 years, they've never taken their shirt off in front of them. They're so ashamed of the person that they were. You just don't understand the gravity of what that means when they get it off of them. To watch a grown man walk across the room to a mirror and start crying because he no longer has to see a swastika on his chest. It's a powerful moment. A lot of people think that after the cover-up is done, that's where we wash our hands of it, but that is not the case. We consistently share resources, and even if it is a person we're only going to see once, we want to keep checking back on that person, and we want to make sure that things are okay with them. You have to do the hard work. It's not pretty work. It's not easy work, but you're going to have to go to places and you're going to have to make those people understand that there are other ways to live.
We want to continue to push the narrative that we love you guys. We're stronger together. United we stand and divided we fall. So,
and you have to be vocal about it.
Continue, guys, to like these videos, share these videos, and let's try to make a difference. And have a great night.
You also can't be in echo chambers. So you have to be in places that are uncomfortable. If I hear that the Klan's throwing a rally, I'm going to the Klan rally in hopes that maybe there's going to be some supporters there that I just need to have someone in their ear to let them know, like, hey, if you're ever looking to walk away from this, there's people that can help you. There's people that care about you. There's people that love you that don't want to fill your mind with hate. You have a more desperate time in America and around the world. People are out of jobs. People are losing hope. And they are turning to anybody that can help them, where it feels like they can help them. And I just think that if we're not really careful as a society, we're going to be harboring and fostering and even helping facilitate the growth of more hate. I think that's why I can't stop. And I just want to continue to do whatever I can. It's either now or never.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.